141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a busy, busy day in Scottish football. It is transfer deadline day with just under 6 hours remaining. Rangers find out their Europa League group. It's the same story for Aberdeen in the Conference with Hearts and Hibs out altogether. And a big weekend ahead, culminating with the small matter of an Old Firm derby on Sunday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
And isn't that small matter a strange business? Here we have Michael Beale off the back of a 5-1 hammering from PSV, looking to get back into the good books of the Rangers fans by beating Celtic. And here we have Brendan Rodgers looking to get back in the good books of the Celtic supporters after his team blew it against St Johnstone, lost two valuable league points and could be leapfrogged by Rangers on Sunday. What an occasion it is going to be.
And I'm having a bit of deja vu, Gordon, this week. After last week's poor European campaign for our teams, we're talking about it again. Heavy defeats for Rangers, Hearts and Hibs. And obviously Aberdeen failing to capitalise last night on their home advantage. Albeit it wasn't a bad performance, they created a lot of chances. But that's gone now, this week's gone. And everybody will be focusing on a blockbuster weekend in this Premiership.
0141 951 1025. Get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. You simply must have something on your mind, because it is transfer deadline day. What have you made of your team's business so far? What are you hoping happens between now and midnight? And that goes to fans of all teams. I think there is a particular interest for you Celtic fans, given some of the stuff Brendan Rodgers has said today. Maybe the business is done, certainly in terms of incomings at Rangers. But fans of all teams, what have you made of your business? What do you want to happen in the next 5 hours and 54 minutes and 10 seconds? Let us know. 01419511025. If you want to just talk pure football, then you don't usually need a second invitation to get your thoughts in ahead of Rangers against Celtic on Sunday. Who goes into it in good form? Neither, is it? Is it as simple as that? How do you see it going? Who has the upper hand? Who needs the win more? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? All the usual fun of the fair when these sides meet in Glasgow. Get those thoughts into us. Rangers fans, what do you make of that Europa League draw? Is it on the slightly more favourable side, given what it could have been? Does it still have its pitfalls? Can you progress from that group? And if you want to do a bit of soul searching after last night, you can do as well. 01419511025. How busy has this week been?
Well, incredible and embarrassing, because it's not good for our image to have everyone losing heavily. So it's a difficult time. And I think clubs come back as well. Clubs like Hearts and Hibs come back to difficult league matches. And they have to be careful before their fans start to erupt.
And the thing, Kenny, I'm not even just talking on the pitch. We're talking Champions League draw, Europa League draw, transfer deadline day. It is, this week has just been incredible. And it's not over yet.
Yeah, it's just been jam-packed. It's been action on the field. It's a lot of action off the field with the transfer window as well, and all the European draws for our teams that are still in the competition. So it has been interesting, a real interesting week. It feels that it's all going to, I mean, it's going to be coming to an end soon, but it's going to be coming to an end with some massive fixtures on Sunday.
And as if that's not all enough for you, there's a lot going on the football front as well. I know lots of you have been tuning in all week, desperate to find out who is going to win that quarter of £1 million that we've been giving away. We'll play that call very soon as well. So I don't know if you can put it towards your team's transfer kitty or not. I don't know if you've got time for that. But anyway, 01419511025. We really could start anywhere, but it's up to you. I can see lots of calls coming in. Pick up that phone. It could be Rangers Euro draw today. It could be Celtic's transfer business. It might be just the game itself on Sunday. So whatever you want, take it in any order, Hugh, because I think they're all as important as each other.
Absolutely. It's all a question of image. You know, Rangers have Limassol, Sparta Prague, Real Betis. You know, they ought to be feeling reasonably happy about that. But although they couldn't make the Champions League, I think it's accepted that for the most part we're better off as a country in the Europa League. I look at Celtic.
Tell that to the bank manager.
Well, yeah, I do understand that, but I'm talking about what happened on the park. Celtic's Champions League group, I think, is very difficult for them. You've got Atletico Madrid, three-time winners, or three-time finalists, I should say, in the Champions League. And Roma, not Roma, Lazio, a Serie A side. In Celtic's current predicament, a Serie A side, Feyenoord, who were 7 points ahead of PSV when they won the league in Holland last season. PSV having just finished taking 7 goals off Rangers in 2 legs. I think Celtic's group is too difficult for them, and Rangers' group, they have an outside chance.
Oh, that, I think looking at Rangers' group, they have to be aiming for qualification for European football after Christmas. And that's not what to lump any pressure on. I think when you look at the teams that they have faced at this level over these last kind of 5 years or so, I think they've been really, really competitive. They've normally got out of the group, and I think this is quite a favourable draw. Celtics, again, it's always going to be tough in the Champions League with the level of teams you're getting at, but out of pot one, they probably would have handpicked that. You know, again, without any disrespect to Feyenoord, seen Feyenoord come to Ibrox a few seasons ago in that Europa League, and Rangers were very, very good, took the points. So I think Celtic could have been better, maybe with pot two, could have been maybe better out of pot three, but it's not a bad draw. I think it's a draw, particularly at home. There'll be fixtures I think they could get something from.
Come on, let's do it all. Euro draws, transfer windows, big games this weekend, big games over the last few days. Let's get stuck right in. Every caller, remember, who comes on air tonight goes into the hat for tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup as well. It's an extra special one tonight because the tickets are for the Legends Lounge. You get to hang out in the paddock lawn marquee just past the finishing line, a table for the day, drinks on arrival, private bar, all the stuff that you'd want involved, and George Bowie entertaining you at the end of the day. So just an extra incentive for you to pick up that phone. Gary has done just that. He's a Rangers fan. Are you happy with the transfer deadline picture, Gary?
Hi, panel. Hey, I was just saying to the producer there that basically, having seen Michael Beale's comments earlier on today at the presser, that I'm not happy with him. If they're going to say that, there's nobody else coming in.
I'll tell you what, Gary, just let's hit pause because let's play them for anyone who hasn't heard. Let's hear from Michael Beale. Says he has adequate players to achieve what they want. He's detailed why they haven't brought in a left centre back or a Ryan Kent replacement, despite discussing that earlier this window.
Without giving the inside and outs or names or anything, went a long way down the road with a left centre-back earlier in the window to provide competition for Ben, and the fact that we wanted to work with a back three this season, if ideally we wanted that option, and we were priced out. He moved to a Premier League club for more than what we were willing to pay. And in terms of trying to get a dribble in wide areas, your first thought is obviously to look inside and see if someone can step up. And I think we've seen a big step up from Rabi Matondo, and the return to fitness of Tom Lawrence gives me a lot of optimism that obviously the fans have not seen yet Tom back, but by the time we get back from the international break, I think he's ready to start games and become a main player in our team again. So you weigh everything up, and I think that's where we're at. Ben Davis came into pre-season injured off an injury at the back of last season. He's been fit for the last 2 weeks, but I feel that John Souter has been playing well enough to keep him out of the team. So I feel that we have adequate players to get us to where we want, certainly to the next window.
So you're not happy with that, Gary? You wanted more? You wanted more done today or certainly this window?
Yeah, definitely. I think even Stevie Wonder could see the gaps in that defence and the howlers they've had over the past couple of weeks. So I would have liked to have seen us bring in, even we've obviously been linked to Harry Souter. I was quite actually excited about the prospect of maybe bringing him in and maybe even going to a back three. The other problem, I think, is we don't have any pace up front other than Matondo and Sima. Sima's not really kicked on yet. Matondo obviously seems to have found a bit of form, which is always good. But you can't just rely on one player. We've got no width, we're far too narrow up front.
Yeah, listen, sorry for the lecture, but let's try and eradicate the Stevie Wonder analogy from this show. I don't think it sits very well. But anyway, I know Gary wouldn't have held any malice in it. Kenny, what about Gary's point then? would you expect a level of disappointment at Rangers' transfer window? I mean, they did a lot of business early, I suppose.
But that's it. There has been a lot of business done early, like you say, and also into the transfer windows. It continued up to probably, what, 2-3 weeks ago. There were still players coming in. So I can understand it now, because Rangers fans are now looking at it, and I think I think the jury's out on a lot of the signings still. They still need to prove that themselves. And the one thing I do that I have recognised, that a kind of throwaway statement, is it's going to take time for this team to gel and players to get up to speed. It is a bit generic statement, pre-season, right? Valid, but it's still a throwaway. Now, after seeing them, this is going to be a work in progress, and it is going to take time before you see the full potential of the squad. So in that respect, I can understand a little bit the frustrations from Gary and the rest of the Rangers fans, if they wanted more business done.
The mood's changed since Wednesday. There they were, the Rangers fans, eagerly looking forward to the Celtic game on Sunday. They'd watched Celtic go out of the Viaplay Cup, then watched Celtic unable to score a goal against St Johnstone at home and drop two valuable points, and everything was fine. And they were quietly confident about the outcome against PSV. And then it happened. 5-1. And the whole mood has changed. And that's why I think Gary has joined that particular mood swing.
To be fair, Gary sounds like you... It might have accelerated it, as Hugh says, Gary, but you always wanted another defender brought in, I guess.
Gary? Season, we could...
Yeah.
Oh, hiya, sorry.
No, I've got you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I would say definitely. Since pre-season, everybody's seen the fragility at the back. Last season, we've seen it. We've not really made any changes to the back. We've spent a lot of money up front, which was needed, but we've not spent the required money on the back line. We've only brought in Sterling, and again, he was injured. He's more a right back. Is he really going to push Tav out? Considering Tav tends to play most games, I don't see him ousting him.
You know, you talk about Harry Souter glibly. Harry Souter's last transfer was £15 million. I mean, Rangers cannot and would not go in at that level for a player.
Yeah, I guess it would need to be a loan. Has anyone done the detective work? Who's this mystery man Michael Beale speaks of who moved to the Premier League?
Is it not the lad Trusty? You know, he went to Sheffield, didn't he? So this might have been linked with the player early, but I think with the Souter transfer, it's maybe potentially causing a family rift as well, because he's going to be coming straight in and taking his brother's spot.
Yeah, would that be the area then? And Michael Beale, and this is where managers sometimes, damned if they do, damned if they don't, he is quite open at times. So he spoke about wanting a Ryan Kent replacement, but then doesn't get one. So people are going to say, well, hold on, a couple of weeks ago, you said that's what we were after. So that, you know, he kind of acknowledged that in the clips that we heard there.
I think the fact that maybe Champions League football has not been got, that might have been a transfer that might have happened had the riches of the Champions League come in. Because also I do think that if you're the Rangers money man and Michael's going to ask him for another forward, they're going to be thinking, well, we've just brought four in. You know, we've spent, I don't know, what was it, 10, 12, 13 million pounds on the likes of Lammers, Dessers and Danilo. Like, do we really need another one? When you already throw in, at this point, they still had Hadji, they still had Lawrence, they've got Cantwell who can play in these forward positions as well, they've got Matondo, and even Sakala was still there up until recently as well. So there is a lot of options in that front area, but I think when he talks about a dribbler and somebody who can have that, again, a Ryan Kent replacement, I don't think Rabbi Matondo's there yet, but what he is he's lightning pace, and I think he's made an impact at this stage of the season already.
Gary, Real Betis, Sparta Prague, Limassol as well in the Europa League. How do you rate the difficulty level of that group?
It's not an easy group, but it's definitely not the hardest group we've played over the last couple of years. As Kenny said, over the last 5 years, we've definitely faced harder groups and got through. It's about getting back to being Ibrox, being a fortress again, and rebuilding what last season's taken away from the club. Before that, we would have really been seen as a force that most people in Europe wanted to avoid. And now I feel like teams will fancy their chances just now, so we've got to prove them wrong again.
That picture changed last night, I think, even after we came off air, where other results dictated Rangers went into pot one, and it did change a lot. It meant no reunion with Liverpool. I don't think any Rangers fans were desperate for that reunion so soon. It took some other big hitters out of it, and then even within that, they could have got your Seagulls.
Yeah.
We had, let you behind the scenes, we had grand plans to send you to Brighton if Rangers had got that draw. But you know, as Gary says, you throw in the disclaimer, nobody's saying European groups are easy. Of course they're not easy. No. But that could have been tougher for Rangers,
I mean, you immediately have to discount Limassol. I mean, if you're in any trouble at all, home or away, against Limassol, then it's time to have a look at yourself. Sparta Prague, dogged, but nothing spectacular. Real Betis, I can tell you there's a very nice restaurant round the corner from the Real Betis ground.
Bear that in mind.
So the Rangers are back in Seville, the scene of their great disappointment under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, but Gary's right. It's a group that Rangers can prosper in.
I think it is a very, very inviting group. Listen, it's never going to be easy. European football, particularly the away games, no matter where you go, are going to be tough. Mm. Like, away wins are hard to come by in Europe, particularly for our teams. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think when you look at that, Prague have played Prague after a few seasons ago in the group stages and got the right results and obviously led to qualification. They've had, again, without disrespect to them, it's a game you're probably looking at 4 points minimum already. Definitely a home win, and then going away, I think you could go and get something as well. And you know, I even think if you can take care of your home games, and I know it's that is a bit of a throwaway statement. We've seen Betis against Celtic; mm-hmm. They're a very, very good footballing team. So that'll not be an easy fixture. But I think it's a group that Rangers can definitely get out of.
Does that bring its own? And I guess that this is a good thing in a way. It's what you want at a big club. But does that bring its own level of expectation? Then, you know, there is no excuse of, look, we were up against Europe's elite here, so cut us some slack. You won't get that leeway, presumably.
I don't think so, because I think a lot of Rangers fans will be looking at that, and absolutely and rightly so, disappointment for the other from Wednesday night's result. But there was always going to be the fallback of the Europa League, the Europa League, a competition that they're really familiar with over the last 5 years, a competition they were in the final 2 seasons ago. So they'll be looking at this group thinking, okay, well, we're going to have European football after Christmas and we'll be in that last 32.
On the one hand, I'm thinking, you know, Rangers were playing a Sunday now in the league once this gets underway, which theoretically would mean that they were playing catch up with Celtic. However, Celtic in their Champions League group, if that starts to get really problematic for them, does it affect their league form on the Saturday? So, fascinating business.
Psychology Sunday, you used to call it. We'll try and bring that one back out of retirement. Thank you to Gary. What about you Celtic fans then? If we've spoken a bit about Rangers transfer dealings, how do you feel, Celtic fans? Paolo Bernardo, by the way, Leo Labada's just confirmed a new long-term contract as well. You can give us your reaction there. Paolo Bernardo from Benfica, if that's the end of it, would you be happy? Are you looking for more? Brendan Rodgers' comments today are very interesting in more ways than one, so I'm going to play them for you, and we're going to find out who's won £250,000 next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here at 0141 951 1025, and we want to hear from you because it is extremely busy. What do you make of your team's transfer business? What are you looking for to be completed before midnight? We're about to hear from Brendan Rodgers, some really interesting stuff, and you'll see what I mean in a minute, because there's a couple of different clips to play for you. But just before we do all that, whilst you get your calls in, all this week we've been giving you the chance to win £250,000. And it's time to find out who the lucky winner is. It's over to Kat Shube for that big money call.
Clyde One. Win £250,000.
All right, let's do this. Let's get someone's weekend off to the best possible start of all time. We closed the lines at 5 o'clock and we selected one number at random from everyone who's entered across all participating radio stations on this competition. There are no 5 rings, no amounts or phrases to remember. Just answer my call to win. It's as easy as that. I feel very excited about this. Okay, here we go.
Hello, Alicia speaking.
Hey there, it's Kat Shube. What's your name, sorry?
Alicia Butler.
Hi, Alicia. Where are you from?
Hemel Hempstead.
Could we talk a little bit about 2023? How has your year been so far?
It's our 22nd wedding anniversary next week.
Oh, congratulations.
So we're going away next week.
What would you do with a life-changing amount of money right now?
Probably pay off a credit card, share some with my family.
Yeah, is there anyone in your life that you're thinking of straight away and you're thinking, I would love to spoil them?
It's not meant to like be emotional, but one of my best friends, she's not even 40 yet, she's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I would love to do something for her. And we actually said that if she did have to shave her head, that we would shave our heads as well. And also, I would treat my sister, and yeah.
So, Alicia, you entered our competition to win £250,000. Your number was picked at random from all the entries, and I can tell you, you've just won £250,000.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh, Alicia, congratulations. You have won £250,000. £250,000 is going to be in your bank account. Oh, Alicia, you're going to make me cry. Oh, Alicia. Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations, Alicia. Who's going to be the first person that you're going to call?
Well, I'm going to tell my husband because he's downstairs and he's probably wondering why I'm crying.
Yeah, he's going to be really wondering what's going on. Do you want to go and tell him now? Do you want to grab him?
I've just won £250,000 on the radio. Sure. Can you hear him?
Yes, we're sure. Mark, she has.
Yeah, that's not real.
It's like it's a dream. It's such a huge amount. It's so life-changing that It's almost like you're having an out-of-body experience. I don't know how to describe how that feels. I mean, you could buy a house with that money.
You could.
It's just incredible. I never, ever win anything. Ever.
You were saving it for the big one, Alicia. That's what it was. You've not won anything because you were waiting to win £250,000. Congratulations, Alicia. The money is yours. As I said, it will be in your bank account in the next hour. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Win £250,000. Clyde One.
And I don't really know how we follow that. Taking the rest of the night off.
I've had that out of body experience, but it's normally red wine.
Oh, incredible. Honestly, that was a brilliant listen. Well done. I'm sure that will be put to very good use by the sounds of it. Andrew, big shoes to fill. Go on, moan about your football team for us.
Hello there.
Hi, Andrew. What's your thoughts tonight on your team's transfer business?
It was just to see, I think at first Brendan Rodgers was caught, he's kind of like pounced on, because it was unfortunate through his the injuries that he's had with his team. But also between him and the board, they've got no chance at all in Europe. They've been so dodgy, obviously, with the first cup to be put out. The team doesn't seem to be playing for them, whether that's Rodgers' fault or whether it's the coaching staff or whether it's the actual football players. I don't know, but it doesn't look a good thing for Celtic at the moment. And even come Sunday, regardless of the results come Sunday, I think that Celtic are in a bit of a bad way than you. And Rodgers and the board are to blame for it, I think.
Rodgers and the board.
Well,
a lot.
The board's not giving them the money.
Oh, fair enough.
I
think they're giving them the money, but it's a hard to understand window for me. Very, very unlucky with the injury to Carter Vickers, to Navrotsky, to Stephen Welsh, to Kobayashi. I mean, to lose four central defenders at one time is beyond bad luck. But so many players of potential are coming in. And, you know, Andrew can tell that there's a heavy Champions League schedule coming up, and that potential doesn't get you through the Champions League. You need quality, you need experience. Sunday is going to be vital for both managers, but in terms of Brendan Rodgers, he's the one we're discussing right now. After the Viaplay Cup defeat and what happened against St Johnstone, if anything goes wrong on Sunday, then Andrew will be joined by many other supporters in condemning everyone in sight. It's vital for Celtic. As I say, I thought that the money they spent might have been spent in other directions, might have been spent in the here and now and not some time down the line. Yang has made an impression. We're waiting to see how Lager Bielka, for example, handles himself on Sunday. He'll never have known anything like this. I think that Brendan Rodgers needed players who were ready to go now, Champions League and domestic league, and I don't think that's what he's got.
I mean, Champions League ready players, Kenny, are pricey. That can be tough, but I do feel like both things can kind of be true at once. You can look, Celtic have spent money. Celtic have spent a decent amount of money, but you can still sort of also hold the view that you thought they would have done more significant business, whatever that means.
I absolutely agree, and that's mean. I think it was 2 weeks ago I got kind of pulled up on my underwhelming comment on Celtic's transfer window, and I still think it applies. So even with the signings that have came in, so it's. There's just no one. Listen, Champions League ready, like you say. I mean, what is that? And how much money is it going to cost to potentially get it? But I think, like you say, there could have been maybe bigger names, money spent elsewhere on players that you're a little bit more confident that are going to come in and make an impact. And listen, the injuries are ridiculous to the centre-backs, absolutely. But it's. I think, again, I'll stick by my statement. I just think for Celtic's transfer business, this transfer window has been pretty underwhelming.
Right, here's what we know. Nat Phillips is in on loan from Liverpool. Luis Palma is in on a long-term deal, the Honduran winger. We're still waiting on confirmation today of Paulo Bernardo, a 21-year-old Portuguese midfielder from Benfica. And then the question for you Celtic fans really is, will that be the end of the road? Will more business be done before midnight? I'm going to play you two different clips of Brendan Rodgers to see if we can try and establish whether more business will be done tonight or not. Been a bit of a confusing day at Lennox Town, I think, looking at the reaction on social media. Firstly, here is what Brendan Rodgers said speaking in his press conference today. So he says that Paulo Bernardo is a player with potential, adds strength to the midfield, and he says he also doesn't expect there to be many more signings.
Again, a young player that's coming in with potential, and as I said, that'll hopefully be confirmed. But yeah, he comes in with the opportunity to see him, to give us, again, more strength and depth in that midfield area. And we'll see how he develops.
Any other incomings expected before the midnight deadline tonight?
I'm not so sure. I don't think there'll be many more coming in.
Okay, so I'm sure you all listened carefully and you two were taking notes. That press conference clip led to a lot of, I think, disappointment from Celtic fans and saying, oh, it doesn't sound like we're going to do much more business. Thought we would. I spoke to Brendan Rodgers and this interview went on Sky Sports today. It was recorded, or it was done 2 minutes before he goes into that press conference, just for context, if anyone cares. It just seemed like his tone was a bit different, or some of the things he said was a bit different, because he said there are still a number of players the club could still confirm.
There's a number of players that were still to confirm to come in. So there's obviously areas that we wanted to improve, and we've been able to do that. So yeah, we'll just see how the rest of the window looks, but there's still more confirmation for players to come in.
Still could be more than one by midnight tonight?
Could be, yeah.
Well, you've asked the specific question, could there be more than one? And he has said, could be, yeah. So the fans will have to wait until midnight to find out exactly what goes on. First of all, in the press conference, he said he wasn't so sure. So there's clearly a contradiction in terms there. And we won't have long to wait.
Yeah.
We'll have 6 hours to wait, and then we'll know for sure.
Look, people can misspeak. I don't think we need to hang any manager on their every word all the time, Kenny, but can you see why Celtic fans have taken a slightly different mood away from both of those clips?
Absolutely, because on one hand, there's maybe not going to be a lot of business done. On the next hand, there's going to be, or there potentially could be, a number of players still to be confirmed.
Yeah.
So, listen, it's like you say, it's a transfer deadline day. There's a big Old Firm game coming up as well that, again, the managers can maybe just get kind of caught up in it, forget what they say. Again, you can't take them to task for the statements that they make. But we'll find out in 5 and a bit hours who Celtic have brought in, if there's anybody else coming in. And the same goes across at Rangers. You just never know. Michael's saying that there might not be anything coming in. Listen, there might be, you know, and we'll find out soon enough.
Bernardo has yet to be confirmed, as we understand it.
Yeah, I mean,
so that'll be the one.
That's going to be the one.
But if there are others, then who are they? and we will know by midnight. I just look at the overall business that's been done to address Andrew's call. You know, the Quans and Yang and Palma and Bernardo, Tilio. It's all about tomorrow when, mm-hmm. you know, Celtic will get a pressing today.
Does there need to be a level of... I know we don't do patience, right? I get all that stuff, but a level of patience, though, because we can't say, oh, Bernardo's a tomorrow. Bernardo's the exact same signing as Jota, and Jota wasn't tomorrow. Jota came in, was one of Celtic's best players, and was sold for a handsome fee. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Bernardo, but I wonder if we're being a little bit selective.
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
The Celtic don't sign, as Kenny said, they don't sign ready-made Champions League players. They can't afford them.
At 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, you will be fielding calls from Celtic supporters if they lose at Ibrox, because that will kick everything off, because they've gone out to Kilmarnock in the Cup, they've played very poorly and get booed off the park against St Johnstone.
Oh, listen, I don't deny any of this, but that sounds like a slightly different thing.
The signings will then be criticised by the fans. They will then take the view Celtic should have had better players than those who have potential. You know, he spoke about Bernardo there, and he said potential, the word potential. I do understand that transfer markets are not easy. However, there's a heck of a lot of potential being brought into Celtic Park.
Again, I do get that, but surely we need to shift our focus. There is a footballing food chain, and Celtic and Rangers either sign potential or guys that are maybe at the other end. We just don't get the full product anymore.
I understand that there's a level at which you cannot buy. However, do you necessarily then have to flood, and I think I use the word advisedly, flood the place with potential?
That's what I'm saying. Was Jota the same then? That's what I'm trying to establish.
Celtic clearly, you know, Jota, let's remember, was over £6 million.
No, he was loaned first, though. Then Bernardo's about to be loaned with an option to buy. It's from the same club in a similar... It's profile-wise, it's the same signing.
Well, we'll see when he gets on the park.
So we shouldn't just bemoan potential then.
Well, you're talking about one player, but add all the others who have come in with potential. And as I say, at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, this whole philosophy will be called into question if Celtic lose.
What about George, who's on the line? What have you made of the transfer business so far? Are you expecting much more in the next, what is it, 5 and a bit hours? Let's see if we can bring George in. I don't think he's fully lined up yet. Where is he? The screen's gone a bit wonky. Never good for a Friday night. That's not what we need. Here we are. George, take it away.
Well, Gordon, I'd be surprised if there is any more signings. And obviously, Kenny's saying he's a bit underwhelmed with Celtic signings, which I find hard to believe he's not mentioning about Michael Beale's signings. Right? But if we touch on Celtic signings, and I've kept with you saying, I don't think we needed to make going on 10 signings on a treble one inside who we lost 3 players from. But what I'll say is I trust our board to make, and Matt Lowell and the scout network have done a fantastic job since he's been appointed. So we can't sign Champions League ready players, but and you hear fans saying they want to sign a £20 million player. Well, I'll tell you, we'll sign quite a few £20 million players, but we sign them for £1 million or £500,000 and sell them for £20 million. And if we've got a proven track record for it, unlike Michael Beale, and hopefully he can maybe turn that around, but we can mention them all day, Tati, O'Reilly, Kyogo, and Dembele, Ayer, we could go on and mention round them off all night.
Let's try not to, because we're a bit pushed for time, if you don't mind. Are there no areas of this current squad you think you would like to have seen strengthened by midnight?
Well, I think we could do a centre forward, but it's covered because obviously the guys are going to go away. Yeah, but I've got faith in the club. I know what the fans have, and it's all doom and gloom. My biggest problem is the signing. I've went on a fourth Gordon. I was a big Uncle George, is Mark's Uncle George. And I'm more concerned with Brendan Rodgers, but I spoke to the girl on the phone there. I actually think Brendan's tactics will suit Celtic on Sunday. Because I think he's slow build up play, maybe catch Rangers on the break. Could potentially be maybe the only time. I think he struggles to break when teams are defending against you. I think Brendan's negative style of play Really struggles to break teams down.
It's a good point. And you know what, in terms of taking on to the game itself, I'm hoping we're going to do that tonight, because I like that, you know, the big build up. There's so much else going on. Just quickly on George's point, what areas would you have expected Celtic to address before midnight, and do you think will happen?
Firstly, obviously, centre back. We've talked about that a while. They've done.
Okay.
I think striker, again, we've talked about it often enough, but I think it's most weeks over this transfer window that you're talking about O being injured, you're talking about Kyogo's just there. There definitely needs to be some. Could Maeda go through the middle and as the kind of as the answer that gets thrown at you for that? But I absolutely think a striker would have been maybe wise for Celtic to try and bring in before midnight.
Seen a lot of Celtic fans on Twitter, Hugh, hoping for a left back or goalkeeper option tonight.
I have always maintained that I think that Celtic have three goalkeepers. Joe Hart has had a wonderful, illustrious career, but I think his best days are behind him, and the other two goalkeepers don't cut it for me. I do think that someone as backup for Kyogo is essential. And Kyogo is one of the areas of concern, because Brendan has tweaked the way Celtic play, and Kyogo is now asked to perform in a different fashion, and I think his goal numbers will drop the way things stand at the moment.
Thank you very much, George. We're going to bring in Richard, who's a Celtic fan in Livingston. He is coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are about to be joined on the line anyway by Richard in Livingston. What do you make of Celtic's business so far? What's still to be done, Richard?
I think I phoned 2 weeks ago thinking we need five, or was that a week and a half ago? We need five, and I think we've dropped three in since. But since then, we've also needed another centre half. So, it's all right. I'm hoping for another two. I think the goalkeeper is going to be left till maybe next season.
It's all right, says Richard. It's not a ringing endorsement, but it's also not negative either. It's just
that's
it's
Richard's.
Just it is what it is.
That's Richard's endorsement on Friday evening. We'll see what Richard is saying at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It's slightly puzzling. It's unfortunate Tilio injured. Lagabielka, for me, be very interesting to see how he holds up temperamentally at Ibrox on Sunday. Navrotsky, unfortunate, injured. Bernardo, there's no way he's going to be pitched in on Sunday. Palma, again, I don't think he'll play Sunday. Kwon, we've barely seen him. Yang has come on and done reasonably well. Phillips had to be signed because there's simply no one else left in the building. But it's a big afternoon for Brendan Rodgers.
Look, don't get me wrong, I know what Hugh means, Kenny. I know how important Sunday is, but every now and then we do need to calm ourselves down in Glasgow. For both teams, the success of the recruitment will not be decided on Sunday. It might feel like it, as Hugh says, at 2 o'clock or whatever, but it won't be. That's just a fact. Well, you know, if Nat Phillips comes in and doesn't do well on Sunday, that doesn't mean he's going to be a bad signing. We sometimes need to realise there is a bigger picture out there.
There is a bigger picture, and you're absolutely spot on, Gordon. But after any old firm defeat, there
like
is the autopsy that goes into it, and the overreaction, as we know, will be flown. You know, so it's nothing will be decided. And you know what? See, even if Rangers or Celtic, for that matter, go on and win the league and whatever it is, it doesn't mean the recruitment's been a success. You know, it just means certain players within it might have been successful, but others might not have been. So it's just I just feel this is a funny situation that we're going into on Sunday, that I don't think either set of supporters are particularly happy with recruitment, particularly happy with the way the team's playing.
Previous results.
Absolutely. And
here's
they're going
then
into it that so, I just think whoever kind of loses, you're probably going to have that big overreaction that Hugh's alluding to.
With both managers, secretly, deep down.
Rip your hand off, yep.
Take your hand
draw.
For a draw.
Yeah.
Wonder at both sets of fans. Richard, would you take a draw? Richard, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Would you take a draw?
No.
No. I don't mind that. I don't mind still aiming high, yeah. And I know there's a lot of bravado goes along with this fixture.
He'll take a draw at 5-12 on Sunday.
Is that the way you maybe see it? I think both managers.
Yeah, I think
they'd never admit it, of course.
You know, they would both think, okay, that just keeps everything calm, maintains the status quo. We'll take a fortnight off for international football. However, the ramifications of defeat for one man or the other will be quite substantial.
Yeah. That's my point. I'm almost regretting asking the question because I know they'll both want to win it and I know they'll both try to win it. I just mean in the big picture, Kenny, as you say, with the negativity that's doing the rounds at the moment.
And the timing of the game, Gordon. Yeah. It's the game before the transfer window. There is no player, coach, manager on either side that is... wants to be going that 2 weeks back after an Old Firm, off any loss, anyway, but an Old Firm loss.
Before the break, sorry. Yeah.
But before the international break. So I just think that it's a. By the way, I'm not saying they would accept it, you know, but I think, like you say,
wouldn't be unhappy with it.
It's as we were. You know, there's no going to be mass negativity surrounding either. But by the way, both teams, I'll look at it the other way. What an opportunity to actually go and really maybe land the first blow of this season.
If there is a winner and it's Celtic, Michael Beale gets it in the neck because it follows on from 5-1 against PSV. If there's a winner and it's Rangers, then it's the third game in a row that Brendan Rodgers' side have come up seriously short. And again, we know it's early in the season, but three games coming up short, one after the other. So I repeat, the ramifications of losing for Michael Beale and Brendan Rodgers will be severe.
You know my next question.
Yep.
Who gets it worse? Who needs to avoid defeat more?
The fascination for me is that
even if it's by a hair,
both sets of supporters have elements contained within them who don't want the manager they've got. And therefore, if Celtic lose, the Celtic fans will say, "I told you, they should never have brought Brendan Rodgers back. He shouldn't have come back. You never go back."
Mm-hmm.
And if Michael Beale loses, the Rangers fans say, what is this guy doing? He gets a thumping, loses 7 goals to PSV. He doesn't pick the right team. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't sign the right players. So for both, I don't think there is one who gets it less than the other.
I think it's a dead heat.
Yeah,
completely
absolutely
even.
Dead heat.
Is there ever such a thing?
You know, I have to agree with you, and I think he's put it, he's covered all bases in relation to what will happen if either manager loses. It'll be recruitment, it'll be players, it'll be didn't want them in the first place, shouldn't be coming back. There'll be all these things that'll be thrown at the manager that loses. So that's it. You know what? And that's why they're in Glasgow.
Does the Ibrox factor put a touch more on Michael Beale, given that, you know, it's home advantage? I don't know, is there more expectations
in game,
to win?
Pre-game, during the game and post-game, yes, because you're going to have all the fans that are going to be there. But the aftermath and the noise from outside, I don't think it really is going to make a difference.
Okay, you can tell us what you think, of course. Thank you to Richard. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. The Thursday duo Dumb and Dumber had another mare last night. I think Mark Wilson lost. It has been a bad night on a Thursday, but these two, real respectability. Did you hear? Have you heard the big news, in fact?
No.
The Friday duo was broken up last week.
Aye.
You were away. You were up north in Dingwall. Tell them.
10 in a row. Got the complete 10.
You, partner. Oh, there you go.
Can you believe that?
Absolutely bang on, isn't it?
Incredible. That means you'll get a zero tonight. If you want to play 01419511025, lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller is here, so is Hugh Keevans, and they're both waiting for you to get in touch on 01419511025. This could barely be busier. Fridays are always busy. You've got the weekend to look forward to. But this is not just any weekend, because there is, of course, Rangers and Celtic on Sunday, which means quite a big deal to people in this part of the world, in case you hadn't noticed. It's transfer deadline day. We're now into the final 5 hours, so we're asking you what you need done before then. The Europa League draw was today, the Conference League draw was today, the Champions League draw was yesterday, and we had European action for our teams last night, and I've probably missed something out. So it's that busy. Give us a call, 01419511025. 102.5. But let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, so it is Beat the Pundit time. Colin is on. Colin's an Aberdeen fan. How's it going, Colin?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
What did you make of your Conference League draw?
Quite exciting. Possibilities of getting some results, but yeah, quite good.
Eintracht Frankfurt, remember them? Where have they been in the last couple of seasons? Palk, who of course knocked Hearts out, and HJK Helsinki as well.
Did you make you know, obviously Colin being a fan, naturally optimistic, but I think we have to tread warily now. If last night or this week in general has taught us anything, do not presume anything.
No. How annoying, frustrating, upsetting was the hacking failure to progress, Colin? Because like, there's been a lot of soul searching about our clubs being hammered. It just felt like over the two games, Aberdeen looked like they could have knocked hacking out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we had good chances and we created some opportunities, but defensively we're still pretty weak in some of the crossing and the activity they had. They had quite a lot of chances, to be fair. They probably are a slightly better team than we are. But yeah, there's certainly promising signs from us. I think if we just tighten up at the back, we've got a really good chance this year of doing something.
You get different types of frustration, Kenny. Rangers, Hearts and Hibs were outclassed, battered, beaten heavily, whatever you want. Whereas Aberdeen's is more of a, could you have done better there?
No, they could have, because the big moments, and I know there was an absolute Saturday to go 3-0, but it was Duke 1v1 to make it 1-1.
Yeah.
It was Miofsky with half a goal on his left peg when the goalie was showing him where to put it and he puts it past, that would have made it 2-2. So I think big moments can, they never took them with their two superstar players as well.
Because even over there, they possibly deserved to win it and could have. Anyway, let's find out who wins tonight on Beat the Pundit. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and tails, it will be Kenny Miller. And it is tails, Kenny, up against Colin from Falkirk. So we'll give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. We'll get the clock ready, Colin. It's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on to the next question, that's fine, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Mike Navrotsky joined Celtic from a team in which country?
Austria.
Which former Man City and West Ham manager now manages Real Betis?
Pass.
How many Scottish teams played in the Conference League playoffs last night?
Three.
Name any Celtic player that Yutaro Oda of Hearts previously played with at Vissel Kobe.
Pass.
Which League One team are the only SPFL side to have won all their league games?
Hamilton Accies.
Okay, let's bring in Kenny. Can you hear us, Kenny? Ready?
Yep.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds starts now. Mike Navrotsky joined Celtic from a team in which country?
Sweden.
Which former Man City and West Ham manager now manages Real Betis?
Pellegrini.
How many Scottish sides played in the Conference League playoffs last night?
Two.
Name any Celtic player that Yutaro Oda of Hearts previously played with at Vissel Kobe.
Kyogo.
Which League One team are the only SPFL side to have won all their league games?
Pass.
And what was the score the last time Scotland and England's men's teams met?
0-0.
Okay. Colin, what's the verdict?
Kerry's hammered me, I think.
I fear for you. Let's find out. Mike Navrotsky, none of you knew though.
Poland
0-0. Manuel Pellegrini is the Real Betis manager. Well done to Kenny, who goes 1-0 in front. Colin, I feel for you here, because I think you knew this, but you just dived in. I tried to put emphasis on the word conference, because of course your team were in the Europa League playoff, in case you hadn't noticed. So the answer was 2-0 to Kenny. Yutaro Oda played with Kobayashi and Kyogo. Kenny goes 3-0 in front. However, Colin, I think you produced the best answer of the lot. I don't know if I can give you bonus points for this. This is a good stat, this. The only SPFL side to have won all the league games is Hamilton Accies. And I think...
clean sheets as well.
I think the only team in Britain who've not conceded a goal.
Yeah, anyway, I believe so, yeah.
top four divisions in England and Scotland. I think somebody can double check that for me. Even if I give you a bonus point, Colin, it's not enough, because Kenny moved on to tell us that Scotland and England's men's team drew 0-0. It was a very good 0-0 victory for us at the Euros, you'll remember. We were excellent. So Colin, not enough, but I enjoyed your company, and great shout on the Hamilton answer as well. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Good man. That was Colin in Falkirk. Another win for the Friday duo. It's just becoming
just racking them up, Gordon.
What about John Rankin? All those Hamilton Accies fans who wanted him out. There he is.
Yeah.
4 out of 4. No goals conceded.
Let me double check that. I'm sure someone told me that earlier this week. Forget your Man Cities and all the rest of it. The Accies, they know how to keep the back door closed.
Yeah. Good for you, John.
Right, 01419511025. That is the number you need. And we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. We are asking you, because we're now down, aren't we? Four hours and 50 minutes left of the transfer window. What do you need done before then? This is fans of all teams, by the way. I know the way this works, you think it's at the big two in Glasgow, but let's hear fans of all teams have their say on that question. I'm just checking to make sure we've not missed any transfer business in the last few minutes. The game itself on Sunday, we could do a bit of discussion about that, because we've been speaking a lot about, you know, like recruitment and managers and all that stuff. But what about the specifics that we like to do in terms of, you know, who plays and who doesn't play and all that sort of stuff, and how you see it playing out? No away fans, of course. That's something new for Brendan Rodgers, Hugh.
Well, you know, there are so many imponderables about Sunday. You know, will Nat Phillips play? I suspect he'll have to, because he's been brought in, I think, because Liam Scales and Lagerbielka represent too much of a risk. But
what does that say? Because in normal times, you would at least have somebody saying, well, hold on a minute, he's not played since January.
Yeah.
And that was one of five appearances in the entirety of last season. Yet you're right, nobody's saying that. Everybody's just saying, oh yeah, he needs to play.
Yeah, but I think for a variety of reasons, you know, that when St Johnstone put pressure on Celtic, and they did latterly in the game last weekend, Lagerbielka and Liam Scales looked shaky. And you can't have that. But it's asking, let's be truthful, it's asking too much of a player like Nat Phillips, who's had hardly any football, to step into the breach at Ibrox, followed by the Champions League, Feyenoord, Atletico Madrid and Lazio.
He's got a bit of time before that, but he's not got any time before this, Kenny.
No, again, that's why I think, whether they look shaky or not, I mean, Liam Scales is a guy who's been in and around the club for a long, long time. He had a decent enough season on loan last year. So it'd be a big call to put Phillips in. I know that's why he's been brought in. He's been brought in because of the horrific injuries to that position, but it would be a big call to throw him straight
in. See, you can never win, Kenny, as you well know. If you don't put him in, then and you get a bad result, the fans automatically say, well, what was the point in bringing him? Why didn't you play him?
But that would be the obvious answer, though, because he's not played since January. And I agree with you, by the way. But
not quite a lot of games under his belt as a 26-year-old in a career.
But then they turn around and say, well, if he's hardly played any football, why did you sign him in the first place?
I guess, though, at this stage, when you've got... It had an emergency feel about it. It was never going to be an ideal signing, wasn't it? It was either going to be somebody who hadn't played a lot or someone who was a bit older. Do you know what I mean?
It was
never going to tick every box.
It was another multi-million pound long-term deal off the back of Lagerbielka and Navrotsky coming in. So it's just unfortunate with the injuries that they probably had to have that kind of emergency loan type signing coming in to just to fill that void until the lads come back.
Let's bring in Ian, who's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, Ian?
All right, lads. I was on the phone there a few weeks ago just after the Kilmarnock defeat. Mm-hmm. And I said at the time that the probability we would end up in the Europa League, which has been the case. Now, I would suggest that I think Rangers, another point I was making was that they hadn't gelled yet. And the PSV game the other night there, I actually thought Rangers played quite well. I know that maybe the scoreline doesn't say that, but I thought the scoreline flattered PSV. Obviously, they should have won the match, no problem, but I don't think when it was 2-1, they would have dreamt in their wildest dreams that it would end up 5-1. However, that's a side issue. Going forward, Rangers are in a position now where, you know, like you were saying earlier about potentials, That's the name of the game for both the old firm, the Rangers and Celtic. It's bringing in potential and doing their best to churn them out and make big dough on them. And that's the business model that both of them have been successful. Celtic, obviously, a lot better in recent times, but that's the business model that both of them have got to adopt in order to survive with these all throughout Europe. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were easily beating teams in Holland, and they've obviously adapted their game, and they're now in the top five. Now, I'm not suggesting that Scotland will get into the top five, but, you know, we've just got to keep improving. Same with other teams in Scotland, just got to keep improving and get better as much as we can.
Yeah, I know you said it was a side issue, Ian, but you've hooked me in. I have to go back. What was it about the other night that you enjoyed or thought was good about the Rangers' performance? Because it's not up to me to disagree, but we've not really heard that viewpoint on the phone this week.
What I thought was very disappointing last year at the start of the Giovanni campaign, and also this year until they got up to speed, the passing. All of a sudden, the other night there was some lovely 5-6 passes about the place, opening them up. Now, obviously, that's them getting to know each other, where they're going to be, etc., etc. So that's obviously something that's still coming. And that's what it's all about. That's how we were successful in Europe. Even when we were only beating Celtic in the league, Rangers had a very successful campaign in Europe. And that's what was exciting. Everybody at Ibrox. And that's what I saw the other night on the TV. And that excited me. And I thought, that's what I've been waiting for. Now I just want to put that into the league, which has been coming. And okay, some of the forward line, there's maybe no spark so far, but I know we just expect so much here in Glasgow. Do you know what I mean?
Is Ian justified or is he easily pleased?
Well, he's found an amazing number of redeeming features out of a 5-1 defeat, 7-3 on aggregate. Again, we'll find out how Sunday works out, because Ian and other Rangers supporters will not find a defeat to Celtic on top of a defeat to PSV Eindhoven acceptable.
And I never seen too much of what Ian was talking about on Wednesday night. I did, however, see really positive factors in the first half against Ross County last week. I think Kamar Roof made a big difference to the front line, the way he had far better movement. He seemed to bring it together and made the other lads alongside him better. Unfortunately, he couldn't play on Wednesday night. But there's one thing for sure, he wouldn't have played Wednesday and Sunday. So I think the fact that he wasn't there and available on Wednesday, I would expect him to play on Sunday. And if he continues building on what he showed last week, I think it will be a real positive impact on the starting lineup.
He's got that physicality for a start, Kenny. You know, that could unsettle whoever is in Celtic central defence. The goal that he scored last weekend was a tribute to that kind of ability inside the penalty box. He out-muscled the guy who was supposed to be marking him and got a goal from it.
So you're feeling optimistic about Sunday, Ian, despite the result the other night?
Actually, yes, I'm feeling optimistic. But also, let me clarify. I don't think that the league's going to be won or lost on Sunday. So, although, and I know it's great to bring it up and say this is, you know, after this defeat and rah, 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 and believe you me, we'll all want Rangers, well, all us Blues will want the Rangers to win on Sunday, but, you know, I actually don't expect Rangers to get beaten Sunday, to be honest with you. I think they're in a good place at the moment. However, if they do get beat, the league's not finished either way. And if Rangers win on Sunday, they'll not win the league either. There's a long, long, long way to go before the prizes are handed out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that is the two sides of it.
That is a great indicator. I'll give you that.
Yeah, because you mentioned the emotion and the feeling, and it will be a strong feeling on Sunday night, but particularly Rangers, because of the way the table is. If Rangers win, it'll be one point difference. So people can project what they want between now and the end of the season, but that's nothing. That's a long way to go.
No, obviously with 34 league games to be played thereafter, you know, Ian's correct that the league is not won on Sunday. But bragging rights come in four parts. And we've got the first quarter of the bragging rights goes to the winner of the match on Sunday. And that's why it's fascinating in every way.
Just draw the game and maybe Motherwell will be top of the table by Monday. You know,
Motherwell could be top anyway with a win, you know, so it's...
Right, thanks to Ian. Let's hear from Michael Beale on the game. He says Old Firm matches You know, Ian said it won't decide anything, but Michael Beale thinks it will be key in making sure that they don't finish second this season from his point of view.
Yeah, listen, our home form and our away form is going to be paramount. I think both teams have made quite a few changes, us more. It's fair to say, more key players, if you like, turning over. And it's important this new group make their own history and their own legacy. The Old Firm games and the games against Celtic are going to be vitally important over the season if you look at the points total that both teams had. And certainly, again, since I came back into the club in November, we've gone neck to neck all the way through. We've fallen second best. This year, the aim is to not fall second best, and these games are vitally important to that. It is only the fourth league game of the season. There's 34 to go afterwards, and I think there's going to be lots of twists and turns, certainly as we get around European competition and we're coming off of European games into big games at the weekend. But the importance of these games to this squad, to the fans and to the league, I think going into the September international break, it will set a narrative moving forward for sure.
He said the word. He said narrative.
You hate it, don't you?
Oh. But he's right in a sense that this will, you have to live with this for a fortnight now. If you're a Celtic supporter and you lose, or you're a Rangers supporter and you lose, you're going to have to live with this, and you're going to have to live with listening to this programme every night and the winning supporters giving you what for.
I don't care if Scotland have just qualified for the Euros. What about that decision at Ibrox 10 days ago? Are these horrible ones for players if they don't go to plan? Do you just stew on it over the break?
Well, that's the thing. See, even if it's if it's Rangers against Hibs or Celtic against Motherwell, you're still not wanting to drop points in that game going into an international break. The fact that it's an Old Firm game, and yep, nothing is handed out after four games. But what you've got, as I said earlier, you've got a chance to land that first blow. It's the first Old Firm game. Mm-hmm. It's the first fixture everybody looks for in the fixture card when the fixtures come out. It's an opportunity now to take a step ahead of your main rival for the league. And that's what it is. And you throw the international break in, and it's 2 weeks. You can't. Rangers on Wednesday night, they've got 4 days they can go bang, and they can. Everybody will forget about the 5-1 if they can win the game on Sunday. They don't have that for 2 weeks.
01419511025. Good time to call. We'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet at Clyde SSB, which we would encourage you to do as well, even because it's helpful. Ian Beale's brother says, Gordon, if Rangers win, there'll be 2 points clear, not one. I must have said one, which of course is wrong, and I apologise for that.
You did. Actually, yeah, I was going to pull you up, but I thought, no.
This one, it's a long day, isn't it? You just get these things. It's verbal diarrhea, I think they call it. But anyway, Ian
too
Beale's,
much information
Ian
there.
Beale's brother is putting us right, which is absolutely fine. Right, let's set up this question for you.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Tackle your customers' spaces with made-to-measure wardrobes.
Great theme this week. We've been building up to the big game on Sunday all week with similarly themed questions on the full-time teaser. And thank you to David in Dumbarton for sending this one in. Can you name the and I think you in particular will scoosh this.
No, you always just say that every time.
No, but it's right up your street, this. You'll see why. Can you name the last 10 Scotland internationals to score in an Old Firm game? Can you name the last 10 Scotland internationals to score in an Old Firm game? Let him take it away with a couple.
Lee Griffiths.
Yes. September 2017, he's on the list there. Kenny
Sir.
Yes, most recently of all, May 2023,
Stuart Armstrong.
Yep, February 17th,
Jack.
Okay, we'll leave it there. By the sounds of it, they're going to make light work of that. Thank you to David. If you want to send your question in and hear it on the show like that, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. It doesn't have to be on that theme. That's just what we've done this week, building up to the big game. But it can be on anything you want, within reason. 01419511025. Let's hear from Andy, who's a Celtic fan. Andy, how are you feeling ahead of Sunday? The guys were saying earlier they think maybe both managers deep down would take a draw. How would you feel about it?
A draw is a big possibility, Gordon. Good evening, guys. I'm actually for you from Santa Ponza.
Oh, lovely.
I encouraged my missus to allow me to book somewhere for her birthday. and it just so happened that there's a lot of good Celtic pubs
in here. It's funny how that worked out.
It's just a big coincidence. for me, it's, the guys were talking about the importance of the transfer window is what makes it successful. For me, a couple of things have happened, and I want to give my opinion on the game for Sunday. But in terms of transfers being successful, I think that's a thing that's happened by Celtic this pre-season, which is really important, is that they've extended the contracts for Kyogo, Maeda and Wilabada yesterday. So for me, a successful transfer is about getting success on the park and then leaving with a profit for the club. So Celtic have allowed that to happen. And also, there's rumours about knocking back a £10 million bid for Matt O'Reilly. Well, I don't know what truth's in that. However, that's big steps by the club. For me, the game on Sunday, I think a draw is a possibility. However, I'd like to ask Kenny Miller this if it's of any significance. I think the way Celtic have been playing, I think Red Rodgers is a top manager, and try to analyse the last couple of weeks about how they've sat and just kept the ball a wee bit less pace and try to get in behind. I don't know whether or not we're setting up for counter-attacks. And for me on Saturday, Sunday runner, I believe that our most important or dangerous weapon will be Abada and Maeda getting in behind to Kyle was rolling off. But with Barisic getting injured on Wednesday, I wanted to ask Kenny whether he thinks that left-back replacement in rate for Rangers. And Kenny, again, would a player who just had a new transfer, does that give him a buzz? So for me, I'll put my neck out and say the Celtic will win a fine margin and Abada will win it for us.
Just quickly, I think Barisic is fit. But you're right, I thought it was going to be the same question, Andy. I was preparing to ask it tonight, but I think he's fit by all accounts. Andy's asking Kenny, apart from that though, the tactical battle, for instance.
Listen, Brendan Rodgers for me is very, very good at that. I think you've seen that. None more so in the game at Ibrox where Celtic went down to 10 men. I think it was Bayata got sent off and you could see the little tweaks and things that he made. And then obviously they went on to win that game 3-2. It was Odson Edward with a wonderful goal. So I think he's very, very good at in-game changes and seeing what goes on. Michael Beale, obviously, he's a year into being a manager. He had a lot of Old Firm games last year. You know, like a lot was, I think it was five in total when he came in. So he's had all that experience now as a manager. He's had a lot of it as the assistant. So it is a real intriguing game. Because I said earlier, I don't think either team's going into it in great form. There is a lot of work still to be done on both teams to get to the peak of their powers. So it's a big game. I think Sterling would probably have covered Barisic if Barisic was out, but if Barisic is fit, then it'll be the usual back five for Rangers.
There's a great irony about Abada extending his contract, and you know it is good business by Celtic to get him to do so, but it's happened at a time when his form has completely shaded, and I think the Celtic fans will be looking to him on Sunday to see if he can revive the memories of goals scored against Rangers at a period in time when he just looked electrifying against Rangers. But he's been very quiet this season. He is one of a few players who really needs to come to life on Sunday.
Andy, see, when you asked about, you said something about a new signing, does it give them a buzz? Were you referring to Nat Phillips? Is that what you mean? Can he go straight into the game? Do you think he will?
I think he needs to go in again, just based on watching the game last week at Celtic Park. I just felt as if that big scales, it just didn't seem to me to be quick enough moving the ball. Nat Phillips, again, I'm not going to say that I know an awful lot about the guy, but he's got a bit of pedigree. We had to bring in an experienced centre-half. We couldn't get him to a long-term deal because there's 4 or 5 young centre-backs that we've got on long-term deals. So there wasn't any point in bringing in another permanent player. No, it was more about Abada. Does Abada get a buzz about...
Oh, sorry, from the new deal.
It's you said there that Abada's not been great form. Season's only 4 games old.
Yeah.
And he's adjusting to a new system. I think, well, Gordon, just before I go, I switched the show on. Obviously, I'm on this wee break. But I heard that person who'd win that £250,000. Mm-hmm. I think my missus was cutting onions in the kitchen, to be honest with you. But we all go on about the paltry sums that football pays. But you just do that motion to that woman, that kind of money that it can make a difference. I think sometimes we're all living in cuckoo land. So it was a great wee clip, but I enjoyed it.
Good. Do you know what, Andy? A dose of perspective is always good and welcome on this show and on this weekend of all weekends. So I appreciate you saying that. And enjoy the rest of your break. I hope your partner enjoys the big birthday treat to the Celtic bar to watch the game.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Good man. There we are. Would you get away with that?
Not in a million years.
I didn't think so. I did not think so. It's going to be interesting, though. You know, if we just boil it down to a football match, you know, like players and tactics and that sort of stuff. What are the, for you, Kenny, what are the main selection dilemmas for both teams then?
Well, I think Rangers, I could probably name nine now. I think there'll be two spots up for grabs, particularly if Barisic is fit.
And are those two in the front two?
They will be one midfielder and one in the front line.
Right.
I think Dessers will play up front. Okay. I think Michael seems to have kind of, he's hung his hat on him, mm-hmm. In big games so far this season, the European games. He's the one player that doesn't seem to be get rotated in that front line.
I think Roof will play.
I think Roof has to play after what I've seen.
One other.
And there'll be one other. And I know Michael has kind of alluded, sometimes they go 4-4-2 and things, but there's a real fluidity and freedom within the front line for the players to move. I think Raskin plays, Cantwell plays. Does Jack play? Does Cifuentes play? Does Lundstrom play? I mean, he played the other night. Again, he came out a bit out of nowhere, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. I didn't expect him to play. And the back five will be the back five. So I think the back five plus Cantwell, Raskin, plus Dessers, plus Roof, I think are nailed on. So
is that where the other night was doubly frustrating? Like the obvious headlines are, you know, heavy defeat out of the Champions League, but there were a few within that. I saw a lot of Rangers fans on social media saying, do you know what? We love him and we think he's been great, but Raskin really struggled there. Yep. Or Cifuentes, you know, a lot of optimism around his signing, but didn't really look like he could cut it the other night. Would, yeah. would those be fair criticisms?
I think, yeah, but I mean to single those two out, I think is pretty harsh, because yeah. PSV are a very, very good team, yeah. you know, and dominated wholly over the course of long spells of the first leg as well. So it was, I think it's harsh to really highlight any individual for their performance, because it wasn't a great like team performance the other night.
And then Hugh, for Celtic, the Nat Phillips one is more about availability, fitness and yeah. availability. But in terms of preference, then I guess we're still no further forward on who takes Hatate's place, really, because it looked like that was going to be Turnbull's, but then all of a sudden a bad half against Aberdeen,
yeah.
and he's taken off, and then Holm gets the nod to start against Kilmarnock, but that doesn't work either. So, you know, Turnbull then, you know, comes back in.
I don't think he can throw Thiago Holm into that game. I just don't think he'd be able to handle it right now. Right now.
Well, I mean, why not, though? I mean, we've seen guys arrive like Alistair Johnson and others and actually Juranovic and just go straight in.
Yeah, there are some that you instinctively believe in. Johnson is tigerish and took to the fixture straight away. I'm not sure that Holm would enjoy the same relaxation. I think Nat Phillips has to play. He's been brought to the club with one purpose in mind, and that is someone who's been over the course before. They have played for Liverpool at all. Tells you he's got something about him. I think he has to play. I think there's a concern on Brendan Rodgers' part that Lagerbielke and Scales will not do it on the afternoon. And does Yang get a start? Because Dyson Maeda, by his own very high standards, he's had a poor start to the season, and I wonder...
So no dramatic start for Luis Palma either?
That depends on...
Because if you're saying you know Maeda's not been brilliant and you think Abada's form's not great,
yeah,
maybe there's a spot.
Well, Yang has played. Louis Palmer, you know, will he take to Ibrox or will he too think, where have I come to? But it's certainly an intriguing one.
I think it's quite similar. I think there's always in Celtic, you can go, even though that's not the first choice back lot, you could probably pick it now. You know, so I think that's nailed. Your Joe Hart's nailed. Callum McGregor's nailed. Matt O'Reilly really? Is nailed.
Kyogo
is nailed. So I think Abada will play as well. Like, I think he's got a good record in Old Firm mm-hmm. games. He has gave Barisic a real tough mm-hmm. time, not just with the goals at the back post and things, but by the way, his movement and his direct play and his pace. I think he's gave Barisic a real tough time in some of the games as well. So I think he'll play. Again, it'd be a big call if he was right and he was to leave Maeda out. So I think there's maybe one or two spots available in both teams. And again, this will be something that maybe, because both teams are not in great form, it might be who is looking actually decent in training now, who is looking like they're ready to play in this game and impact it. So real interesting to see that as well, the both team selections on Sunday.
Graham and Hamilton, give us your thoughts.
Good evening, how are you doing, chaps?
Good, how are you?
Living the dream.
Good.
So what I'd like to say there to Mr. Pessimism, Mr. Keevans, and to Mr. Well, listen, the thing is, Celtic, the problem isn't so much the players, it's the formation. Now, much was made last season under Ange Ball. Indeed, when he went to a few of the games with some of the head teachers, they said they were going to the juniors and the under-19s, 21s, was because all the system the Celtic were playing under was what all the players from right under the, you know, the academy down to the under-11s, 12s, they were all playing this form of football, the inverted wingers. So I just wanted to know why it's been flung out of the pram straight away when Mr. Rogers has come in, and why was a big play kept John Kennedy at Celtic Park when surely the transformation or the turnover should have been, well, we're just going to keep playing the same way, because if we're teaching all our kids right through to the young academy players that this is the way forward, why has it been thrown out after only four games? Because I think you'll find that most of the problem that Celtic have faced is that the threadbare in the midfield, we don't have the genius of Atati, we don't have the running of Moy, the flexibility of the inverted fullbacks coming and helping out, and the fluidity up front. That's all been taken away for Mr. Rogers' new style, old style, pass along the back, side to side, whatever you want to be. But as I say, the main point of Celtic are missing is we don't have the fluidity and it's affecting us up front. Why is Mr. Rogers not a big man of just saying, you know what, big Ange balls is the way forward, and this was the way that Celtic should be playing, attacking on the front, all over the place, take it on. And by the way, Celtic are going to hammer that mob. Raskin is mincemeat. They're getting murdered, they're getting slaughtered.
I love that, because that just started. It was so sensible, and then it just,
It just escalated quickly.
I love that.
Mr. Rogers, as Graham refers to him, does it his way, because he's Brendan Rodgers and he won 7 trophies out of 7 when he was Celtic manager first time around.
Are you surprised there's not been an attempt to keep it even a bit closer to the blueprint from last season? And granted, I know there's been injuries and stuff.
I think you have to take into account the personality involved. He's not up here to be told you must play the way Ange Postecoglou played, so don't touch anything. He was brought to take the place of Ange Postecoglou because Celtic needed to get in a top-class coach in a hurry and to placate the fans who were deeply concerned by the loss of Ange Postecoglou. So Mr. Rogers is there because of Mr. Rogers' reputation.
It's not so much someone telling them that he has to, though, Kenny. It's about any manager arriving, seeing that, oh, actually, I've got a good thing going on here, and yes, I'm going to put my own stamp on it, but I might as well keep a bit of that going. And then Graham, who's now hung up, by the way, how was what he getting back? Saying, you know, and John Kennedy's still there. I think there was an assumption in the summer that it would maybe be Ange Ball featuring Brendan Rodgers, where it looks completely different, doesn't it?
It does look completely different, but it's also a manager who, like Q says, won 7 trophies out of 7, playing a certain way. You know, just because fullbacks don't go inside as much or at all doesn't mean to say that you can't play great, fluid, attacking, fast football.
Yeah, but he's also not really seemingly playing the way that he played the first time either.
Yeah, but listen, but again, this is, like you say, Brendan Rodgers is coming in. This is a guy who's managed Liverpool. This is a guy that won the FA Cup with Leicester and really should have got, probably just fell at the final hurdle of getting Leicester into the Champions League again a couple of seasons
twice
in a row.
I think,
So it's this, and he knows what he's doing. You know, so he's going to see the qualities of his players, and he's not deploying them in a way that he feels, oh, well, he's not going to be able to do that. You know, he's deploying them in the way he feels.
The best,
it absolutely is, and he's been picking the right team. So, like Graham says, it's early, it's 4 games in. The same applies to the Rangers and all the new signings and how they're gelling as well.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that. You know, I think it was a bit of a defence of his playing style, if you like. You know, he was asked about the way things are going to be going forward. He says he's a winner, and that's something he'll teach his players. He thinks his fast, exciting style will show as the weeks go on.
Listen, I'm not here to jeopardise the strategy of the team or lock the team and myself into anything that would fail or not work. It's just time. I don't really want to go on about injuries, and but there's injuries. Two key players that can really make the system function, of course. But I've absolutely no doubt. I know how to win. I know what it takes to win. And I'll show the players how to win. It might not be in the first game of the season, but over the course of the season and over the course of my time here, I believe we'll do that. But it's just little details of, like I say, of what will improve with the players as we work forward. But my teams have always been based, and my body of work hopefully shows that. My teams have always been aggressive and on the front foot and attacking and creative and fast and powerful, and this team will be that over time as well. So, but in the meantime, we need to continue to get results and work and look to improve.
Which I think is kind of what you said.
Yeah, he uses his words very carefully, Brendan Rodgers. As he said there, he's not here to jeopardise anything. He's here to do it his way. He referred to his body of work. Well, his body of work at Celtic, first time around as manager, was undiluted success. So I think he shows in that clip that he is not unaware of the fact that people are saying, why are you changing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you out the cup? Why did you draw it home to St Johnson? And he is simply saying, I know what to do here, and it requires time.
Right, how's this teaser looking? We're looking for the last 10 Scotland internationals to score in an Old Firm game. You've given me John Souter, Ryan Jack, Lee Griffiths and Stuart Armstrong.
Scott Brown?
No.
David Turnbull?
Yes, last season. This time last season. In fact, it was the 3rd of September, apparently.
It was, yeah.
So a year to the day when the next fixture takes place. Any more, Hugh? Kenny?
Callum McGregor?
Yes, April 2018. And we'll do the rest of those answers, hopefully, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a quick show it's been. I feel like it's one of those nights we could probably go on for a few more hours yet, but we're nearly there. Still time for you to call, and remember, everyone who makes it through tonight goes into the hat for tickets to the Virgin Bet Air Gold Cup Festival. We've done that all week, but tonight we're taking it to the next level, because tonight's prize is tickets to the Legends Lounge on the 23rd of September. So you get to hang out in the Paddock Lawn Marquee. It's just past the finishing line, so a great place to be. You get a designated table for the day, drinks on arrival, a race card, a private bar, betting facilities, and a guest tipster as well. And as if that's not enough, our very own George Bowie with his boom boom music, as you call it.
Did you say a guest tipster?
Uh-huh.
That could be me.
It certainly could not be you. Oh. Although maybe you'd have more luck at horses than football. So anyone who gets on here tonight goes into the draw for those tickets as well, and everyone who's called already is already in there. Right, the last 10 Scotland internationals to score in an Old Firm game: Souter, Turnbull, Jack, McGregor, Griffiths, Armstrong.
Am I sitting beside one?
You are. Kenny Miller on there, yes.
Barry McKay.
Yep. Okay, that's two to get. We'll get them before the end of the show, I think. I think you're on a good track to do it. Right, 4 hours and 11 minutes left. Quiet deadline day? Is we officially declaring it?
I think we've had a fairly lengthy transfer window, yeah, and lots of activity.
No, sure, but I mean deadline day, you know, it's been not much happening, has it?
I think if there's anything between now and midnight, it's at Celtic.
Well, I mean, Paulo Bernardo's not been confirmed yet, so you would have to think so. I'll do a quick look through. I mean, St Johnson signed an Austrian midfielder, Sven Sprangler. Owen Moffat, remember him?
Yeah.
Former Celtic youngster, he's gone to Dunfermline. I think that's a loan.
Formerly known as Adam Moffat.
That's right. The mighty well earlier on. Georgie Gent, good name, if nothing else. A 19-year-old left back from Blackburn, again on loan. I know Dave Cormack took to Twitter earlier in the week, didn't he, to say that he expected more. I think even as many as two more, but can't really see any yet. Dundee have signed Marcel Lewis, a Burnley youngster on loan. I repeat, quiet deadline day.
Yep.
Is that all right? expecting much more between now and midnight? Do we not do that?
Listen, I think
drama?
There will be. I think there will be signings. There's no doubt. There's always at least kind of one or two over the over these last few hours of the transfer window. And by again, by listening to Brendan, looks like there probably will be at least another one coming in at Celtic.
Hmm. Yeah, well, watch with interest. That at Clyde SSB on Twitter will keep you up to speed on everything that's happening over the rest of the evening. Midnight as well. Midnight. It's a long shift for us in Scotland, that's for sure. Hugh, I've no doubt where the priority for many of our listeners in Glasgow and the West will be on Sunday.
Yep.
But we've got a brilliant weekend away from Ibrox.
It's the aftermath of Europe that intrigues me. You know, Hibs have taken an 8-0 battering over two legs from Aston Villa. Understandable. If you can't defend, and Hibs can't defend, and you're in between managers. Now, they are at Pittodrie. Aberdeen, Barry Robson talks a great game. I think he will get the points against Hibs. You've got a Hearts team off the back of horrible defending against Pauk, who are now at home to Motherwell. And Stephen Naismith, who will now reassume the title of manager
think
or head
he will?
Coach. Yeah, he will, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
But he's got to start delivering. You know, the title means nothing. What are you doing while in office? And Hearts have got to start delivering. The right now, they think they're better than they are.
I don't think you'd ever lose your sense of humour. Just as we started that conversation, Joe Newell, Hibs midfielder, tweeted, "The European dream is over. Couple of great nights over the last few weeks, and in the end, I'd say Villa got lucky." I don't mind that at all. But yeah, that's going to play a huge part in this weekend, Kenny, is the reaction to Europe for those teams.
It is, and again, when you've got both Aberdeen and Hibs against each other, it's two of the teams you'd expect to be in the top six, but at the moment are kind of more towards the bottom of the league. So it's a big game for both. You know, Hibs have already got rid of their manager. Barry Robson, I mean, I could say I felt his team were unlucky over the course of the two games against Hacken, I really do. But again, it's highlighted in the big games at that level, you need to be taking your chances, and really good ones that they did create. For Naysie, there needs to be a reaction, because it's a heavy defeat. It's off the back of a poor result against Dundee, a team that you're probably expecting to be down relegation, a team that's just been promoted. So firstly, they want to stay in the league, but you'd expect them to be down the bottom league. It was a really, really poor result last week. So again, he needs to bounce back after two poor results. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, really interesting fixture list this weekend.
Once you're bounced out of Europe, as Hearts and Hibs have been, people then start to scrutinise in a more intense way.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've had all that glamour, if you like, of Europe, but now it's gone, and it's gone because you weren't up to it. And now the Hearts and Hibs fans will be judge and jury here. And you know, Sunday is big for both of them.
And then Livy St Mirren, you've got a Livingston team who were, I think partly hoping they'd get good money for Joel Nubley so they could move him on. Doesn't look like that'll happen unless something late transpires. Against manager of the month, Stephen Robinson, who says he's been linked with every job in Scotland, so he's paying no attention to those linking him with the vacancy at Easter Road.
I thought he was so desperately unlucky, you know, not to go top of the league last weekend. That 110th minute goal, whatever it was, from the penalty spot that Aberdeen got. He is wanted by other people because he's good at what he does. He was a good Motherwell manager, he's now a good St Mirren manager. And he's definitely coming into his stride, into his peak as a manager.
Okay, let's leave that there because we're almost out of time and you need to give me more on this. Thanks again to the folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions in East Kilbride for helping us with this, and David in Dumbarton, who emailed the question fulltime@clyde1.com. The last 10 Scotland internationals to score in an Old Firm game: John Souter, David Turnbull, Ryan Jack, Callum McGregor, Lee Griffiths, Kenny Miller, Stuart Armstrong and Barry Mackay.
Christy?
Oh. Is Mark Wilson a Scotland player?
No. Well, yeah, but he doesn't go back enough. You try and take that one cap off him.
Well,
I'm toiling then. Maybe I have to go down the clue route.
Rangers, not Celtic. Not that far. Both Celtic, and one of them in particular is not that far back. He's still there. He will probably play at the weekend. You just forget that he might have scored goals because he doesn't score many.
Craig Taylor,
yep. Remember it?
Remember it, yeah.
It was a cup game, wasn't it?
Yep, it was.
And the next one is actually verging on an obvious compared to some of them. I mean, he'll have played in loads of these fixtures and he's still at Celtic. Don't know if he'll get the nod to start on Sunday. I'd be surprised.
James Forrest. Yep.
There we go. And well done, Gary in East Kilbride. You're the winner of the tickets and you're in the Legends Lounge, easy for me to say as well. So a top night in store. Thank you to Gary. Thanks to everyone who called and took part. And that is that. What a week it has been, from European qualifiers to Scotland squads to Euro draws to deadline day. It has been unbelievable. And it is not over yet, because some fantastic fixtures tomorrow and then the domestic fixture for many of you on Sunday. It is not to be missed. Make sure you join us tomorrow from 2 o'clock, when we will go around the grounds and have Hugh and Gordon and Mark in the studio, the top team out and about. And of course we are back on Sunday as well. But in the meantime, stay right there. GBX is up next.